I think I'll record some poetry of the surrealist poets of the 20th century, and start with W.S. Graham. W.S. Graham was born at Greenock near Glasgow in 1917, left school at the age of 14 and served an apprenticeship as an engineer. His first book of poems, Cage Without Grievance, was published by the Parton Press in 1943. In 1947, he received an Atlantic Award in Literature and then lived in Cornwall, Rome and Paris, and lectured in the States two or three times. His most well-known collection is probably The Night Fishing, 1955, published by Faber, and I'll read out the first section of The Night Fishing. The Night Fishing, W.S. Graham. Very gently struck the key night bell. Now within the dead of night and the dead of my life, I hear my name called from far out. I'm come to this place, come to this place, which I'll not pass, though one shall pass, wearing seemingly this look I move as. This staring second breaks my home away, through always every night, through every whisper, from the first that once named me to the bone. Yet this place finds me and forms itself again. This present place found me. Owls from on the land, gulls cry from the water, and that wind honing the roof ridge is out of 9 hours west on the main ground, with likely a full gale unwinding it. Gently the key bell strikes the held air, strikes the held air, like opening a door so that all the dead brought to harmony speak out on silence. I bent to the lamp, I cupped my hand to the glass chimney, yet it was a stranger's breath from out of my mouth that shed the light. I turned out into the salt dark and turned my collar up. And now again, almost blindfold with a bright hemisphere, unprized ancient overhead, I am befriended by the sea which utters me. The hull slewed out through the lucky turn and trembled underway then. The twin screws spun sweetly alive, spinning position away. Far out faintly calls the continual sea. Now within the dead of night and the dead of all my life I go. I'm one ahead of them, turned in below. I'm born in their eyes through the staring world. The present opens its arms. This is the surrealist poet Hugh McDermid, appointed to the surrealist in 1950. He is the pen name of Christopher Murray Greig. Was born at Langholm, Dumfries, in 1892, the son of a postman. He was educated at Edinburgh University. During the First War, he served in the Royal Army Medical Corps in Greece, Italy and France. After the war, he became the driving force behind the Scottish literary renaissance and of a revival of the use of the vernacular, Lalans, for serious poetry. With Compton Mackenzie and R.B. Cunningham Graham, he founded the Scottish Nationalist Party, from which he was expelled for being a communist. Almost simultaneously, he was expelled from the Communist Party for being a nationalist. The most important of his many collections of poetry are The Drunk Man Looks at the Thistle, 1926, and In Memoriam, James Joyce, 1956. So I'm going to read out the first section of a long poem by McDermid, On a Raised Beach, to James H. White. All is lithogenesis or lochia, carpelite fruit of the forbidden tree, stones blacker than any in the GABA, cream-colored Caen stone, chatoyant pieces, celadon and corbeau, beast and beige, glaucus, hoar enfolded cyathiform, making mere faculae of the sun and moon. I study you, glout and gloss, but have no cadran to adjust you with, and turn again from optique to haptique, and like a blind man, run my fingers over you, aris by aris, burr by burr, slicken sides, trute, rugas, foviol, bringing my aesthesia in vain to bear, a mango touch to all your corrugations and coins. Hatched foraminus, cavo relieva of the world, diectic fiducial stones, kiliad by kiliad, what bricol pile you here, stupendous cairn? What artist poses the earth they call shavis? Pillar of creation engulfed in me, what ebonition augments you with men's bones, every energumen an endymion yet? All the other stones are in this Hakita, it seems, but where is the Christophanic rock that moved? What Kaburian song from this catasta comes? Deep conviction or preference can seldom find direct terms in which to express itself. Today, on this shingle shelf, I understand this pensive reluctance so well, this not discommendable obstinacy, these contrivances of an inexpressive critical feeling, these stones with their resolve that creation shall not be injured by iconoclasts and quacks. Nothing has stirred since I lay down this morning an eternity ago but one bird. The widest open door is the least liable to intrusion, ubiquitous as the sunlight, unfrequented as the sun. The inward gates of a bird are always open. It does not know how to shut them. That is the secret of its song, but whether any man's are ajar is doubtful. I look at these stones and know little about them, but I know their gates are open too. Always open, far longer open than any bird's can be. That every one of them has its gates wide open, far longer than all birds put together, let alone humanity. Though through them no man can see, no man nor anything more recently born than themselves, and that is everything else on the earth. I too, lying here, have dismissed all else. Bread from stones is my soul and desperate dearth. From stones which are to the earth, as to the sunlight, is the naked sun which is for no man's sight. I would scorn to cry to any easier audience, or, having cried, to lack patience to await the response. I am no more indifferent or ill-disposed to life than death is. I would fain accept it all completely as the soil does. Already I feel that all can perish, perishing in me, as so much has perished and all will yet perish in these stones. I must begin with these stones, as the world began.